Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these game.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield. Just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the second. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. Touchdown, Auburn. A miracle in third
half. SEC mixtapes. Hosted by Bonzo.
The realest coverage in the South.
Billy, where you at, man? Wait a minute. I thought I heard Billy. Billy, you on here? Anybody? Let me press a button. Let me see what I got going on. Let me see if I got you. You on now?
I'm on.
Billy? Okay.
Can you hear me?
I was hollering at you. I hear you now, man. I appreciate you coming on in. I had to reconnect you. I had a couple of little technical issues. This is episode number 31 of SEC Mixtapes. We got Billy Bad and G Willis on. We're waiting on Bonzo to call in so we can get the show started. But I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and get it started. The hot topic of today. What you got? Let me hear your hot topic and I'll jump on mine. It might be the same one. What you got?
Well, Lane Kiffin get hired at Florida Atlantic.
Lane Kiffin. Is that really the news of the day, Lane Kiffin? Who we got? We got a caller. Just called in. Who we got?
It's Mama Worm. What's going on?
She came in early today. I just sent her a message. we got Bill. We're missing Bonzo for right now. We just got on. You got G Willis and Bonzo on. I mean, I'm sorry, and Billy Bad. We're gonna start off the topic. Let me see what you got, Joy. We got Joy McIntyre on. Sean Shivers' mom. We love her. We try to get her on as much as we possibly can. We're gonna speak with her this evening about the state playoff for Sean Shivers. But we're first gonna touch on. I want your input on this because we know that you had some Alabama stuff going on at your house at one point. So we want to talk about Lane Kiffin at FAU. What kind of impact is that going to have? Let's start out with Billy. Billy, what you got on that, man?
You know, I'm this here with the two quarterbacks transferring this year. And then I know the kid from Hawaii is still coming. But I think it's just me now. I think that Lane can sway the kid from Jacksonville, the four-star quarterback from Jacksonville, to go to FAU and put up all kind of numbers. And he possibly can bring a couple of more in-state kids with him, along with him. You know, they don't have to travel far. They know they got a proven offense coordinator that's all about offense. And that could be real intriguing to kids right there locally.
Where exactly is FAU? What city is it in? Georgia?
It's down this way. Yeah, it's down this way. FAU has a campus in Boca, like Boca Raton, between, like, close to West Palm Beach.
Wow. So what kind of impact do you think Lane Kiffin will have at FAU?
I'm looking at his background and I'm thinking because he's, you know, most kids, they look at where a person has coached before if they've done their homework. And they see, you know, he's coming from Alabama. He has a pretty extensive list for his coaching career. So, you know, most of the time with people like this, the kids, you know, he was saying, he'll be able to persuade them to come to FAU. FAU is trying to build that program, and for a lot of kids that's willing to stay close to home or that need to stay close to home, it's going to be a great experience for them. So, you know, it's going to be
good.
What
are their facilities like?
Good.
Do they have
nice
facilities
really
there?
Because
I don't know too much about it.
It's nice. Yeah,
oh, no, it's really nice. It's really nice. Sean has he has an offer from FAU as well. So they weren't the first person to offer, but they were like in that top five, top ten.
Hey mom,
check this out too, mom.
He's a good offense coordinator, but you know what he's even better at?
What's that?
Recruiting. Recruiting.
Well,
we'll see.
That's what he'll have to do. I mean, he can do. He can come right here in his backyard and try to get quite a few kids. If he can, his recruiting skills are up to par.
You know what I see? You know what I see FAU doing? I see them being the new Louisville. I really do.
Oh, absolutely. They have a great program. They just need somebody in there he'll fit the bill. It's gonna be tough at first, especially because down in South Florida, it's kind of hard to get these kids to stay, and they're so close to home. FAU is so close to home for like us because it's like 45 minutes away. So, and you know, most kids want to go away. To get new scene, new environment. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to try to reach out more to the kids in South Florida or move more northward.
He has to get the I'm not going to say the top elite, but he has to get some second tier kids from Florida. You know, that Louisville team had 22 kids from South Florida on the team.
They got our kicker. We have a kicker on that team.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson is 20 minutes away from our house. We know him.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly. I'm telling you, he has
I'm not anticipating him making a huge difference next year, but I guarantee in the next 2 years he's going to make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm looking at it like this. Something's going on that behind the scenes that we're not seeing. Now, Billy threw up some stuff to me, Joy, that I didn't know, because I noticed that he's taking a pay cut by leaving Alabama to be the head coach at FAU. Now, he's making more money as an assistant at Alabama.
Right.
So it's got to be something else going on. And Billy told me that, you know, he's still getting paid from USC. Is that true, Billy?
Yeah, you know,
did I dream it?
Lane Kiffin was making $3.7 million a year at Alabama, but Alabama was only paying him like, I want to say, 200 or 300 some thousand to coach there. You know, but because he was still getting 3.7. And so I don't know if it was up this year or he had one more year. I know it's either or. See, he's taking that million from them, but USC got something in their clause that anything that another team pay him is off of whatever that's the less they have to pay. That's why Alabama.
Right, because that didn't make sense at all to me. I was like, because, you know, Joe, if you didn't know, the word, I guess, and on the Twitter side of things was that Lane Kiffin was going to University of, or should say Louisiana State, LSU, to be the offensive coordinator. That was the reason why they hired Coach Orgeron. It was a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think, in the South was expecting the guy to take the LSU, especially by this morning. Everybody was really expecting him to take the LSU job. So now it's going to be somewhat of a scramble for LSU to find an offensive coordinator, which I think Steve Sarkisian, is in the mix for that position. Not saying he interviewed or he talked to anybody, but I know he's in the mix.
Yeah.
So it's a lot going on in that whole equation.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Alabama put out their list today.
I wouldn't be surprised if I hear from him. I wouldn't be surprised. Because Sean's name is he has an offer with them, so I wouldn't be surprised if I hear from him. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm telling you, hey, and listen to him,
right?
Because the type of offense he runs, oh man.
Mm-hmm. We'll listen to him, but we coming to Auburn though. But we'll listen.
I keep an open ear, I keep the
pipelines open. But
let's go ahead and
touch on what Auburn's offering now, we can't get that up.
That's what I wanted to talk about. That's why I asked her to call in this evening. Auburn picked up a huge commit this weekend. Five-star quarterback out of Baylor. How do you feel about that, and what is Sean saying about that pickup of that quarterback?
He hasn't said much of anything because, you know, the other kid that's coming in, Gatewood, I think he's coming in 2018. So he hasn't – Sean's not really a big talker, so he hasn't said much. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting.
He's only going to take the reps from Jeremy Johnson, which is going to be gone. So he'll be the fifth quarterback in that rotation. That's all.
Well, apparently, they have Woody Barrett. That was my big thing was Woody Barrett. You know, he was a four-star quarterback out of the last year's class. And I'm not saying that this was his year to make a difference, but I pretty much thought he was going to be, you know, give Sean White a run for first string. But now with Jeremy coming in at this five-star rating, who can do it all, it's like, wow, what's going to happen now? Because you don't want that same thing to happen at Auburn that's happened at Alabama and every other school where you have a starter a guy like Jeremy coming in who may take 2 years before he leaves. I got another caller coming in. Let me see who we got here. Who we got on the show today? Oh, wow.
I just bombed up in this thing. What up, fellas?
Oh, man.
Y'all thought I was dead.
For real.
Hey, Bill, I thought you saw Tua that he wasn't going to call in today. No, I'm just kidding.
Y'all thought I was dead. I was up there watching kids cross other kids over. I've been participating in youth sports tonight. Basketball.
Wow, man.
Man, you know, I got to do it all, man.
You coach everything. We can fire the basketball coach and football coach.
You laughing, but I do think I can recruit on the same level as Bruce Pearl and Gus Malzahn. I think I can do it. You want to hear my pitch? Y'all want to hear my pitch?
Pitching to Jordan.
I can recruit better. This is the best pitch that any college coach has ever gave, man. I can beat any college coach right now, Damian Craig, all in. Here go my pitch right here. How much is it going to cost for you to sign your name on the dotted line? Billy didn't laugh because he's talking about, you talking about Alabama, ain't you? Hey, man.
No, I laugh.
Hey, man, what's the word, fellas? What's the word? What did I bust up in here on? I like to bust up in here.
We got Joy McIntyre. We got Sean Shivers' mom on the line again. We were going over the recruitment of Jeremy, five-star quarterback out of Baylor. And how that was going to impact Auburn and maybe
Jared Stidman. You talking about the recruitment of Jared Stidman?
I'm sorry, Jared.
Hey man, look. We are not going to start off calling him Jeremy. We're not going to do that. We're not going to start off calling him Jeremy. I don't like to talk about anyone's child, so I'm not going to go there. But I'm just going to say that we're not going to calling him Jeremy.
My dad still called me by the wrong name. It's been pretty, you know, it's helped me out thus far. So let's go ahead. let's stick with I call him Jeremy. Hey, he's lucky I called him.
He already got his name. He already have his name. It's Worm.
It's only one Worm, man.
I mean, Jared, the quarterback, man, not her son, not him.
Hey, look.
Oh, man.
Well, I'll tell you, man, like, seriously, I looked at a lot of I've looked at a lot of film on the guy, and he will be a unique talent to Gus Malzahn's system. I looked at Gus Malzahn coaching at Tulsa, even when he coached in high school. You know, he's never had a quarterback with this skill set. And one of the things that I think is going to be interesting is how he actually adjusts, or if what decisions are is he? What is he going to do with the guy? I'm really interested. I must say I'm overly interested.
You want my 2 cents?
Go ahead.
You want my 2 cents?
Yeah.
I'm talking tonight.
I want
him. I'm talking tonight.
Let's do it then, Billy.
Let's do it. Why is
let's
this
do
even
it, Billy.
News? This is SEC mixtape. Why is this even news? That's next year's business for y'all. We still got an SEC team playing in the playoffs.
Oh, hey, Billy, you've been thinking about that all day, ain't you?
No,
hey,
he
Billy, you knew you was going to do that.
He got me.
Hey, Billy, you knew you was going to do that. Billy just hit me with the pump fake.
But, hey, before we get on why we SEC mixtape, I do want to ask Joy why we have her on the line.
Hmm?
I do want to talk to her about Sean and his
we
his
can do that. We can definitely
just,
do that.
Yeah.
It's about
let's talk about
it's
that
about...
before Billy snaps on us and show us what the meaning of SEC mixtape is. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Y'all hilarious.
So, how did Sean do how did they do in the playoffs? I mean, because I was checking online. You know what? I had to go back on Facebook and Twitter to look at your feed to see if they were winning or not.
Oh,
so let's hit a lowdown on the game.
I don't really post during the game. I come before or after. But no, we lost. Shoot, I don't even remember what the score was. Oh,
that was about the first play
of
the game. First play of the game.
Oh, first play of the game. Oh, the boy had my heart stopped. I had to lay in one of my parents' lap and cry for a minute. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. It was amazing. 80-yard touchdown on the first play of the game.
It was. It was. How many yards?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
That
was
what I'm
amazing.
Talking about.
How many yards did he have for the playoffs? I know he was at around 600 and something at one point. Where
seven,
is he now?
He
Do you know
has,
his stats for
791, if I'm not mistaken. And 791 with 10 touchdowns.
Okay.
Playoffs?
Okay, that's great.
In the playoffs. We're talking about playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs.
We're talking playoffs. We ain't talking about the season.
No, we're talking playoffs, man. This dude.
Talking playoffs.
This dude's snapping.
Hey, he definitely saved his juice for the right time. Because good Lord.
He did.
That's insane. Hey, can I ask you some questions, Joy? But I want to ask you any parent questions tonight. You know, I want to ask you, like, kind of like pro questions and stuff, because you kind of a recruit pro parent and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I want you to step outside your mommy zone, and I'm gonna ask you some questions, kind of like a radio host. You here with us tonight. You here with us, so we respecting you as a host. You after you've been five times, you like a guest host. You ain't no guest no more.
I've been on here five times already. I think I'm still a guest.
four. But check it out. Can you just walk us through what are you a recruiting visit? Walk us through what does a recruiting visit? These are the things that people really want to hear. That parents want to know about. Like, just walk us through a recruiting trip or recruiting and try to, you don't have to explain, you know, personally, you know, what happened, but you've been on enough and you've been on the circuit long enough with other players and, you know, other parents. Like, just kind of walk us through a in-home visit.
I guess from what I've seen, I have never been on site for one of them, but just from talking to other parents, it's a tough process because kids that don't have their mind made up about what it is they really want to go, it makes it difficult for them because they're selling you so much. If you come in, you're going to do this. If you you know, it's just different little things that they offering that the other school might not be offering. playing time, things like that. Like it's kind of I gotta say for me, cause I'm different than other parents, you know. When it comes to comes to recruiting, I want to look a coach in his eyes, and I've sat down with a couple of coaches just on visits, and they weren't, you know, we're visiting camps, and I just, you know, you can kind of feel the genuine feel from those coaches, like what they tell you different things, what you're trying to find out if what they're telling you is the truth. If you can look me in my eyes and tell me this, and repeat the same thing every time you see me, then I believe because a liar, they might tell a lie, but the next time they tell it, it might not be the same lie they told the first time. The lie going
okay,
change.
So do parents like normally like take notes? Do the kids take notes? Do parents take notes? Because I'll confess this. I'm a big old dork. I'm a big old dork, and I take notes for everything.
I concur. I think we all concur with it.
I take notes for everything. So do parents normally take notes? Okay, this school said this, or this school offers this, because. You know, whenever you talk about making a decision of this caliber, I just would imagine, like, you don't just sit down at a table, and maybe I'm wrong, but you don't just sit down at a table and put some names in the hat and shake them up and go, oh, Hawaii. So, like kind of walk us through, like as far as, like, when a parent or a kid get together to make the decision, they look at pros and cons, or is fun one of the things, you know, family, how they feel, just kind of give us a good picture, if you don't mind.
You want me? It's gonna be honest. I don't think they do. Sometimes I don't think they do, because you have to. Because for me, the decision was completely based off of what Warren wanted to do. However, he had done his own homework to know when you get to Auburn, will you play?
Mm-hmm.
So. A lot of kids pick schools, and I think I said this the last time I was on here, they pick schools because of the name of the school. And because when they go on a visit, they roll out the red carpet. Oh, they gave us this. We had chocolate chip cookies here, you know, like stuff like that. Oh, it came in the shape of the school, the name of the school, like all kind of different things. They look at it that way. They don't look at it as where it's going to benefit your child. See, for our recruiting process, even because it's going to get crazy for us coming in September, I can already feel it. Because with what he's done this year, and because he's verbally committed, schools are calling out of nowhere. Oh, he's priority. Well, you offered him a while ago, and he wasn't priority. So I look at all of that, because you got to look at who was checking for you from the beginning. That's just like when you dating. You going to date this guy, or you going to date the guy that's been kind of checking for you for a minute, and you kind of know what's going on with him. So, you know, I don't think sometimes when I see a lot of kids go to college and you ask about them and the parents like, well, they red shirt, well, they just sitting there, oh, they play second string, they do this. Like, before you went to the school, did you go to that school because the school was the school of choice, or did you go there because of the name of the school? So that's the problem that parents have. They got to sit down and go through those pros and cons, not just say, oh, he came here and he had the best conversation, because guess what? I know some kids right now that have gone off to school thinking it was going to be the best place for them, and they miserable right now.
Yeah.
That's because you ain't weighing your pros and cons.
That happens quite often. It actually happens more than you actually realize.
Yeah, it does. And I have this question. Like, one thing that I read a lot, and I was reading where one recruiter, it was Rhett Lashley, Sean White made this comment when Rhett Lashley was recruiting him. He said that Rhett Lashley told him, he said, now, look, before you commit, I want you to understand that every single year I'm going to try to recruit somebody who's better than you, someone who can upseat you, someone who can take your position. You know, whenever a coach says something like that, you know, as a parent, how does it make you feel? Like, because I think that's just blunt honesty. in my opinion. Right. But you know, how does it make you feel, you know, as a parent to hear that? Hey, look, I'm always looking for someone better than you. So you, to me, like, how does that make a player? How does it make your son feel to hear stuff like that? And how does it make you feel as a parent?
It puts you on edge a little bit, because it sometimes makes you feel like you're not priority for that particular school. However, it depends on how you take it, because you could use it to make yourself be better, or you could just say, forget it. Like, I'm not going to compete with those people. But then the grass might not be green on the other side, because you go somewhere else. You're still competing with other people. So you can't go like
that. If that's the right tactic, I can understand him saying that. Just like I went out and got the best running back in your class, which I think is you, next year my same thing is that's my standard. I go out and get the best running back for that year in this class to back up you. That would be my tactic. Telling someone,
but yeah,
I'm
sometimes
to get
they say the wrong
you,
thing
to upseat you. That he come from high school. I can understand that.
But I'm gonna tell you too. But I'm gonna tell you this. At that point, I probably would have been like, "No problem, sir. You're good. We're good."
That's a certain kid cut from a different cloth, though, that says that. But you can't tell
kids that.
No.
Especially not trying to bring to your school.
And that let me know why he playing five quarterbacks a year.
Well, hey, no negative recruiting stuff going on here, but I thought the way I took it, and maybe I didn't say it right, and I took something away from it, but the way I took it was, hey, you know, we're always going to push you. You know, we want you to stay on your game. That's just how I took it. You know, I think that's how I took it. You know, we're always going to try to be better than we were the previous year. You know, so we need you to always upgrade. We need you to continue to get better. That's why I said the kid too.
Because some kids, if that was Worm, he might take it another way as far as, I'll show him. That person ain't better than me. And then some kids, they don't know how to handle adversity.
And the other kids will be like Barnett. Yeah, you're right.
So it depends on the caliber of kid.
Yeah.
That Worm can graduate like this spring, because we kind of need him next year, to be honest with you.
The other day, this a long wait for me to see him get the Alabama. It's a long wait, because I'm just like, you know, he's verbally committed, but it's like I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to go right now, because I just feel like the game is on a whole nother level.
I have an interesting question.
Mom, let him develop and let him enjoy his year.
It's just watching the game, watching the Florida game here, and watching college football. It's like though they say he's small, he's not gonna have any problems. And that's not coming from a mother. That's just me watching football.
So I have a question. I have a question, you know, pertaining to his recruiting too. So he's committed. He's committed to Auburn, and it sounds like he's solid. It sounds like he's solid. So and he's already done the work to get the offers that he needs, and he's done the work on the field. So as a parent, does that change the way you do things this summer? Like, do you still plan to go to all the camps? Of course, he's going to take all of his officials. I'm not going to. I can't put words in your mouth. You can't do that.
We're going. You still, I said it before.
Yeah, do. Okay. All right. So does he still go to all the camps, all the different things? Does he still do that? Since he's already done the work. Does he stay on the camp schedule?
If it's left up to him, no, he will be. He don't want to go anywhere else.
he knows he's going to Auburn. That's what it is. But for me, as the parent, yeah, we discussed it before that commitment came out. This is what we're doing. So you committed, but we're still going to take other visits because here's the thing. I'm trying to mentally prepare him that anything could happen.
That's
coach
right.
might leave. Coach might not. Another coach might come in for any whatever reason. I'm not saying that I want that to happen. I'm saying I'm just keeping my. I'm just thinking optimistic because I have to protect his future as well. The
That's
next
right.
coach come
Smart.
In might not feel the same way that Coach Gus feels about him, and we've discussed that with the staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying y'all going anywhere, not saying I'm hoping something happens, but I got to stay optimistic because anything could happen, and I don't want him to be left behind. So the next coach might not think Sean Shivers is the person to fit their Auburn offense. It is
no.
what it is.
Yeah. Sean, I think Sean Shivers. I think the boy gonna be getting a little. He might grab another star or two. 700, almost 800 yards in the playoff game. That's pretty dang on impressive.
Yeah,
he
is
the player of the year. He's the player of the year down here in Fort Lauderdale. He's the player of the year. So that was a big move, especially because he's just a junior. So, you know, it's good. Like he, you know, a lot of kids go to camps and things like that. That, like I said before, that's how they get their stars. And he's not really a camp person because he feels like what he does through the year, he does the work should happen
that's
on
right.
the field.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's what he feels. He goes to the camps because they give him, you know, they invite him, and
yeah.
he goes, you know, to show appreciation for it. But a lot of times you won't hear much about him. You'll hear he's there, but you won't hear much about what he's doing because he's not really a camp person. His thing is on the field.
All right. Somebody just texted
you know,
in a quick question.
You know the Malones, Darryl Malone. His son plays in Fort Lauderdale. I think they play for one of those schools down there. That's my
one of them.
Yeah,
I don't know that name off the top of my head.
Hey,
if you tell me a school, I probably would.
Somebody just texted
in
a question.
I'll get the
school
for you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm
gonna
call him out. Somebody just texted in a question. It's my nephew, who's 17 years old. He wants you to ask. He wants you to ask Sean this, but I'm gonna put it like this. I guess this is G code for people around their age. He said, "If Sean could say, but he can't say, but if he could, what them girls be like on them recruiting trips?"
He won't know yet. Hey nephew.
Okay, nephew. I asked the question. I call you out now. I call you out, nephew. Now, go ahead. You can answer the question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, he won't know until September when we start taking those official visits because I guess that's when it goes down.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been on any visits by himself because most of the camps we've gone to, I've taken him. So he's always with me. So he won't know that question until then.
Hey,
that's
my nephew. You talking about nephew. Hey, nephew. Them girls be like his mama, cause he going with his mama right now. Just
Dang.
Like on your recruiting,
we'll see.
Go for academics. Like your mama.
We'll see who the player of the year. We'll see who the player of the year is when he get back, huh?
We'll see then. Yeah. He'll be the regular player of the year. He gonna have a problem.
Uh-oh.
When I went to Auburn with him. It was so funny because we were talking and playing. I don't know who they thought I was. So I was thinking they thought I was his sister or something. So before he went in with Coach, they told him the guy came up. He was talking to him. And, you know, I noticed he never acknowledged me. You know, he smiled at me, but he never acknowledged me. And then he said, I'm sorry, what's your relation to Sean? And I'm like, his mother. And the guy was like, oh, okay. Then we go in and we talk to Coach Gus. So then we come out, right? So the next day we go on the tour and I'm laughing about it. I'm telling the girls, I'm like, yeah, I think they thought I was his sister. And she was like, oh, no, we thought you were his girlfriend. I was like, what? I was like, I'm almost 37 years old. Khalil, I was like, well, thank you for the compliment, but I'm not his girlfriend.
I was about to say, you know you got turned. You know you got turned. You know you got turned when they said that. Don't play.
Bonzo,
you know you did a little dance. Hey, you did a little dance.
We can't retain them. We can't retain them.
I guess everybody was there with their girlfriends. All the recruits were there really with their girlfriends, and I was dressed down, so I guess I looked like one of them.
She got turned, y'all. She was like, yeah. Hey, what that little cat? What little one around say? Yeah.
Sean came in the room. He came in the room a little while ago while you all were talking. I asked him what he thought about the new quarterback. He said he's nice. The new crew. He said he's nice. He was like, he's good. He's nice. Like, he's probably, I guess he's watched the huddle and things like that. So
it looks like
Auburn is putting together a pretty good team going forward.
It does.
It looks like it.
It does.
It really does.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about that, Billy?
I think every parent that got a child going somewhere next year in the SEC think they. Team putting together. I think Bush Jones' parents think that.
Hey, man. Hey, man, you a mean dude,
man. He angry, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Billy speaking his mind.
If G Willis calls you angry, you got problems.
Hey.
If G Willis calls you angry, you got real life problems.
Joy, I want to hit you with some questions. Because you answered these questions on our show 21. I want to ask you, what do you think about seeing all the kids in the SEC football that's on Twitter right now, all the graduates at Vanderbilt, at Tennessee, at South Carolina, at Alabama, at Auburn?
Auburn had more.
Have you been seeing all of them?
The graduate rate is up
so high in the SEC period that
I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen quite a few, and it's impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. It really is. Did you guys happen to see the parody?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we had me and G had a conversation about the Saturday Night Live deal about you know, the guy acting like he was an Alabama football player. And he was doing his thing, and it was dumbed down for him. But the other,
I thought it was pretty accurate.
Yeah, it probably was pretty accurate. That's for all athletes, though. It's not just that Alabama.
Right.
I feel some type of way about that.
It's shame on you if you don't take advantage of that, because some people go through all through their life and don't get a college degree.
Absolutely.
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying? And
right.
Yep.
Believe it or not, no matter what you know, that paperwork stands for something.
Absolutely.
No, it don't have that. my thing is, if it's there, they're using you, use them.
Absolutely.
I agree. We were talking about. Go ahead, Alonzo.
I got beef with the Saturday Night Live skit. I got some serious beef with it.
Put it on the grill, man.
So, a wrestler, a professional wrestler who's known for taking steroids, a known meathead, makes fun of football players. Talk about a case
it's
of the clock
irrelevant.
Calling the kettle black. I mean, come on,
man.
Professional wrestling has nothing to do with college. No, it doesn't. But I'm saying,
you don't go to college to be a wrestler. You just end up being a wrestler. These guys go to college on a scholarship.
I disagree with that, G. But what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about him.
Hold up, Bonzo.
Go ahead.
Hold up, Bonzo. You become a wrestler after all else fails.
Exactly.
You become a what?
Exactly.
You become a wrestler after all else fails.
That's right. That's right. That's completely different. That's not relevant.
So, and no, I'm saying I don't feel like he's the one to sit and make fun. Where did he graduate from? Where did John Cena graduate from?
I don't think you have to graduate to be a wrestler, do you?
What? Okay, so he's sitting up there making fun of someone who at least attempted to go to college.
I
so I'm just saying, man. I'm sorry.
Let me throw this in the equation. If your son Joy could miss college and just go straight to the NFL, would you allow him to do that?
Nah, he need a degree. Cause listen, anything could happen.
That's
I preach that all the time. Anything could happen. What if you blow your knee out? What if ACL? Anything.
You can get that big insurance policy they offer these days. You know that.
That's okay. I'd rather you have that paper too.
I agree completely. I agree, but the thing is, I mean, you know, some of these kids, if they had the opportunity to go straight to the league, I guarantee you they would. But the difference between basketball and football, you definitely need those years for your body to mature, because most of these guys coming out of high school will never be ready for the NFL. I mean, it's just too much. They're too fast. They're too strong. They're not ready. That's the difference between basketball and football. That's
right.
Definitely the difference. But when it comes to wrestling,
I mean, I don't.
What you got?
Any kid that get drafted in baseball from I forgot what year it is. I think it's 2005. You can get drafted in the 32nd round, and you can get 4 years of college if you don't pan out in 5 years.
Oh yeah, definitely. Your quarterback from Florida State, Chris Winkie. He did it.
Yeah.
I said Winky. That was funny. With Chris Winky. Yeah, it was quite a few of them that did that, actually.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know why I feel like that? I feel like that because Worm's dad, he played in the NFL for a little while, and he was a walk-on.
Really?
And something happened with me, and he ended up becoming a sports agent. His sports agent hired him, and he became a sports agent, and now he has, like, really big-time clients. So that's why I say when you have that paper in your hand, it means so much because anything could happen. Anything could happen. You just have to be ready. I know a lot of – let me tell you this, too, and I said this to – me and Sean had a conversation the other day, and we were talking about this, and I told him, I said, listen, a lot of times – People want to play in the NFL because they want the money. Not many have really a passion for the game. A lot of kids just see money, and a lot of times that's why they go broke, because they're not passionate about what they're doing. They play it because that's how they
and
got
you
their
know
job.
What? You have you
I
just
think
really
society
you just,
that.
Just that's a great point. A great point.
Uh-oh.
Because like. I know me. I know who I am. I know exactly who I am. And I can tell you this. I'm serious. If I had $15 million in the bank, and I know for a fact, I got $15 million in the bank, it's going to be real hard for me to stand out on a hot football field and listen to somebody yell at me and tell me to get it right. $15 million guaranteed.
It'd be hard for somebody to get in touch with you, too.
Hey, look, I'm serious, man.
They're going to be able to find them.
Hey, what? Like, seriously?
Hey, it's like that now. It's like that now, Joey. Don't get it. Try to call him tomorrow.
Hey,
George.
He got an extra $200. We can't get in touch with him.
He was late to the show, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Joy, don't you jump on that bandwagon.
Okay,
don't jump on that bandwagon.
I got to say the truth.
Don't jump on that bandwagon.
Hey.
Don't do it. But seriously, like, can you just imagine that? We're all adults. We all work jobs. Can you imagine having $25 million in the bank? That $25 million is yours. Like, it's yours. Like, I hear all these people talk about Jamarcus Russell, the mistakes that some of these guys make and all this stuff. But as an adult, can you imagine having $25 million in the bank that's yours no matter what happens?
Let me run something past you, Bonzo. Let me run something past you. I heard Jamie Foxx say something that stuck with me. Now, I've always heard, you know, I knew a lot of guys who went to the league when I was at Auburn, you know, saw a lot of stuff go on. But Jamie Foxx compared it to this. He said, my weekend in Vegas and your weekend in Vegas are completely different. You go to the club, you might spend $100, $200. He said, I go to the club, I might spend $50 to $60 to $100,000 in the club in one night. That's how you go broke. Real quick, your bills are way more than the average person's bill. Everything is way more expensive. So, but my background being in that kind of stuff, you know, finance, this, that, and the other, I've definitely seen how quickly it happens. Just like Biggie say, more money, more problems. Let's go to that route. So, go ahead, Bonzo.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, you know, I just would like to learn. I would like to learn about all these problems because I grew up with seven siblings. I grew up with seven siblings, so I've always been able to operate off of little to none. I have. I've always been able to operate off of a little to none, and that's the thing that puzzles me, I guess, man. And it's not puzzling because I've been 20-something at one time. You know, and like you said, man, I blew a refund check in college. I blew one.
Hey,
so I never got one.
That's how cool I was in college.
He tells you everything you know about how G was raised to his parents. I never got a refund check.
I know. And let me tell you this, my mom and dad never paid my tuition either. I did all kind of stuff in college. I played sports, and I worked my way through school. Y'all don't want to hear my sermon today, so don't go there.
You worked your way
so mean today.
Hey, he played in the band.
I worked my way through school. Hey,
what you played in the band?
Whatever you want to see it as. Hey, I did a lot in college,
hey,
and I worked
too.
My way
work
through
in
school.
Public.
Yeah,
you
I saw the picture. That was... hey, that means he's a very nice kid. Everybody I know at Publix and Chick-fil-A are the nicest people in the world, and that's my pleasure.
Hey, you know what the funny part is? His manager had no problem, had no idea who he was. Like, when I call in and let him know, like, he's going to be traveling, and then one day she asked me, she said, where does he go all the time? And I said, well, he's one of the top recruits in track and football. She was like, Sean? He never says anything. He just does his job. You know, he's not really – he doesn't really get personal about himself.
Man.
So a lot of people don't know, and I'm just trying to teach him how to be
so
a man, responsible.
Humble people are so blessed. That is so great because, see, if I would have had that type of talent, I just got to be honest. Hey, Bonzo signed an autograph on the meat aisle. On the meat aisle.
Wow.
But that's who I am,
you,
man. That's who I am.
What you got,
I'm sorry.
Billy?
That's me.
What you got, Billy? What you got?
Saying,
I heard you trying
real
to come
people
in.
Don't have to toot that. They don't have to toot their own horn. It shines like a star.
You know, we played the state championship game Saturday morning, and I watched. I always tell Sean, if you leave it all on the field, you'll have no regrets later. And I watched him go down Saturday for the first time. I've never seen him sit on the ground during the game. A game actually has to be stopped because he's hurt. Never, ever, ever. So I almost lost my mind, y'all. Y'all almost saw me on TV flipping across the wall trying to get down there on that turf and see what was going on. So his dad was down there. So I was like, okay. So his shoulder was bothering him. So I said he was in a lot of pain. And so I watched this kid. After he came out the game, and I knew he was in pain because I could tell how he was running that he was in pain. So I watched him go to halftime, come back out like nothing happened. He was still in pain, though. Afterwards, they did the interviews with him because I guess his name was a big name going into the game or whatever. And so afterwards, I wanted to see his face because I wanted to make sure he was okay because I knew he had gave it his all. Like, he was still diving, trying to get yards. He was just trying so hard. So I watch him as he walk off. He's standing in the middle of the field. He's watching the other team get their trophy. He's just out there by himself. So when he gets ready to walk off, you know, he's walking between the cheerleaders because they still standing there. And he's smiling. All I see is dimples. And I look, I call his name out. He finally look up at me. He's just smiling, and he's just like, "I love you, Mom." I'm like, "I love you, too." And at that point, it brought some warmth to my heart because I watched a lot of those kids that just boo-hoo cried because of what took place, and then I watched the kid that walked out and just say, "They're going to feel me next year because I'm coming back bigger and I'm coming back stronger." And that's just, a lot of kids don't have that mindset and heart. You can't teach. So it's just, I just tell them, remain humble. You got to remain humble, and you got to thank God for everything, because without him, you don't have no, you have no strength to do anything. So a lot of these parents, you know, they my baby, and a lot of times when I post things, people don't understand the joy, but that's because they don't know the struggle that we've been through. So they don't understand what we, where I'm coming from. So when I tell y'all I can't wait for him to get to Alabama, is definitely what I mean, is because I think the best just yet to come for him, and I think it's gonna be a show. I think it's gonna be a show, and I'm gonna be in the stands every time that show take place. Because he won't touch a ball without me being there.
Amen. All right, well, we're gonna go ahead and book you on the show, because we're going to do after-game shows, and we got you booked. So before ESPN or anything come in, hey, now I want you to hit them with the Mike Jones now. Back then, y'all did wrong.
All right.
So, hey, we all run from the 10th. We all run from the junior year. We all run from the junior year.
That's right.
We're going to shoot
right.
The documentary.
Right.
When they do the 30 for 30, SEC Mixtape wants to shoot the documentary. We got it. We'll figure it out.
You know I'm going to talk about y'all. You know I got you. You already know.
Okay.
I already got you.
Good. We'll hold you to that. And you know, I'm rooting.
George, that means even three seats at the Heisman booth, dinner, and all that.
Hey, you pushing it, baby. Let's do it.
He done laying it on me. Now, you laying it on the little thick. Now, I got to make sure. Now, my mama ain't losing her seat. She definitely, she's 71. So,
Bonzo don't have to come. We're going after.
I ain't ready.
Bonzo, Alabama fan,
he ain't
going to
show up no way. Hey, boo, he ain't going to show up no way.
Let me bring us back in perspective. We got 36 minutes left in this show. We want to go ahead and fulfill Billy's wish, because the name of this show is SEC Mixtape. So let's talk about the only team that's in the SEC that is in the playoffs, and that is the University of Montevallo. Alabama.
Since we got Mom on, we that's another show, but we can talk about these graduates and stuff, and the academics that Worm is going into, and you know, those type things. We can talk about all that. We got plenty of time to talk about
Billy, you going to Auburn. Billy, you don't want to talk about Auburn no more. He going to Auburn. I got to agree with him on that. Billy busts us upside the head all day, every day. Billy will sit and wait for somebody to text him. And he been saving these slaps all day. You can tell he's saving. I think he already having it, like, copied. That's how fast he texts back. It'd be like paragraphs, but he texts it back fast.
I met your cousin today. That's all I text you.
Man, why you all talking about
Alabama?
Why you...
Oh, man.
Y'all hilarious.
Oh, man.
I can't
y'all
wait to meet y'all,
y'all
boy.
Losing
I can't
audience.
Wait.
let's get back on topic. So I want to tell me this. Like, whenever, like, I guess things, once he committed to a school or once he started being recruited, did it make you watch football games differently?
It did, college football, because I wanted to understand the reason why he chose, because the big thing was, because of his size, making sure that he chose a school that would fit his style of play. And after talking to him and watching, I sat down and watched all the schools that offer him. We watched like 30 schools, just sitting home on Saturday watching football back to back to back. And then I could understand. The only other school I saw that is too far. It's too far. But whatever, it is what it is. Oregon also ran the type of offense that he doesn't have an offer from them, but they ran the type of offense that would fit him very well as well. So, that's basically
what you just brought up
an
interesting question. You brought up something.
But will they continue? Here's the question, though, Bonzo. Are they going to continue to run that same style offense with Coach Rand in there?
Right.
Not Rand. Taggart.
That was my question. You know, Willie Taggart, I think it was a very, very impressive move by Oregon, hiring a guy with roots in Florida. You know, because honestly, you know, Oregon's big on speed. That's what they've always been big on, is speed, and we all know Florida.
They soft.
I can guarantee it's going to be a bigger footprint for Oregon in the state of Florida now. Like, Oregon's going to be hitting Florida pretty hard. So
the problem with Oregon.
That
Joy, let me let you get a little taste of G. Willis right quick. Okay. Oregon is always going to be soft. Because they're on the line coach. The reason why we're SEC mixtape is because we get beat up all year long, all season long by the SEC teams. Oregon plays maybe one or two opponents all year, but when they run up under a real team, they get smashed. It's kind of like Texas TCU or Texas Tech. They look great when they're playing a team in their conference. You know, they're throwing, they're doing a little, you know, spread offense, which looks great until it stops. I mean, they might get beat by 60.
No.
And that's the thing with Oregon, because they may play faster. You see what happened to them very quickly. When somebody's team comes in and they put the muscle to them, they look terrible. They look awful.
You know?
That's why the West Coast has little – go ahead, brother.
Since we on West Coast – versus the SEC.
Yep.
You know, since we're gonna I want to hear what Joy gonna pick. Hey Joy, Alabama versus Washington. Alabama versus Washington.
Alabama.
You choosing Alabama?
I'm choosing Alabama.
Why?
Okay, let me tell you why. Because I'm watching their team this year, and they got a pretty good team. It's gonna be hard to beat. They got all the right people in the right place. I'm just giving props where it's due. They got a good team. So
did you see Florida throw points on Alabama? Did you see them kind of do things that nobody's done? And we're talking about Florida, who has no offense in SEC championship.
I've seen it, and I saw where Alabama could have been beat. I just don't think they made the adjustment.
How many players you know off Washington's team, Joy?
I don't think I know any. I don't think so. I have to ask Sean.
That's why.
Who's from here?
That's my point.
G. Willis. That's kind of a hot viewer. Believe it or not. Hey, G, believe it or not, that's media base. That's media base, man. Like, you know, on the West Coast, a lot of more people know about Washington. You know, they know about the players, and you know, of course, I'm a dork. I just watch it all, man.
Who beat Washington this year, Bonzo? Who beat Washington this year?
USC.
Okay. And USC, even though they played better in a year, we saw Alabama just completely just decimate them in the beginning of the first. It was the first game of the year.
I don't disagree.
The West Coast teams, this is my point. They can look great against each other. But when they come under the buzzsaw, it's a whole different game. And then people talk about bowl season. Let's talk about bowl season. All the naysayers want to talk about bowl season. So when Alabama, Auburn, Florida, all these SEC teams play these teams in the bowl games, look at Auburn right now at the end of the year. They were missing half the team to injuries. So when you get beat up all year, it's kind of hard to go into bowl season with the right head on your shoulders to play football. When these teams on the West Coast and some of these other conferences that don't play football but once or twice a year, you know, they come in, they're fresh, they got a good game plan. That's why, I just don't understand it. But I do watch these critics, the media, how they decimate. SEC, they have only 3 bowl victories this year. It's a down year for the SEC. Okay, come on, man. Well, you play them, man. You play somebody that I want to see somebody play. Sorry, I almost guessed. I'm sorry. Sorry, ASS South Carolina. As terrible as they are. Hey, nobody wants to see Kentucky. Kentucky's doing pretty good at recruiting right now. I'll give Kentucky another 2 years.
I just saw something else. I just saw they're getting 2 kids from our team, a wide receiver and a D lineman, and they're also, I just saw, they're getting another kid coming in. So they building in Kentucky.
Yeah, they doing the thing. But, I mean, Vanderbilt, as smart as they are, I mean, they have a coach. He has arrived.
Right.
He has a ride. So nobody really wants to see some of these teams. You know, they can talk big noise about them, but West Coast, I go to sleep on them. I don't care nothing about it, which is one of my favorite phrases.
So
I don't care
different.
Nothing about it.
And Worm said this to me, too. We play the game so much different. Like, the game is – play the game so much different than teams further up the road play, you know? And that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's just like our defensive coordinator had to get used to – how we play ball in South Florida because he's from New Jersey. So it was like, Coach, it ain't working, Coach. What you doing ain't working. This South Florida now. We working with speed. You know, even somebody who might be slow, it's still a foul. We play ball faster. So
that's
the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That speed, they play girth and strength and, you know, X's and O's on the East Coast, rather. You got a lot of these teams, a lot of these regions, rather, that put out different type players. You know, there you can get a great player out of anywhere in the nation. Let's not hate on that. You can be, they got a great running back right now out of California. What's his name, Bonzo? High school running back.
Are you talking about
everybody? Yeah,
the one that's committed to Alabama. His name is Najee. Is it Najee Harris? Yeah, Najee Harris.
That's
I've heard
that's
that
him.
Name.
Najee Harris.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, you got great. And let's go to Michigan. You have, I remember I was following, what's his name? Jabril Peppers in a high school.
Jabril Peppers.
And he was amazing to watch, but it was New Jersey. I think it was New Jersey, one of those states that don't play football. You know, who cares what you do in New Jersey? I mean, those guys are in the 40, and I mean, you can use a sundial at a time in the 40. I mean, they're slow.
Hey, man.
They're slow guys.
Hey, G.
What up?
I have to disagree with you on that.
Go ahead, Billy.
Mika Fitzpatrick is from New Jersey, too, right around that same area.
There's quite a few of them, but overall, when I say that, I'm speaking generally. I'm not speaking as every athlete in that area. You got an athlete here and there, but when you go to Florida, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, they're everywhere. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere.
Well, I understand what you're saying, G, and it is a different style of football. However, man, I don't discount anybody, man.
I discount Washington and Alabama. Sport.
Parts of the
put your money up.
You know,
get him, Billy. Tell him to put his money
up.
I am not picking Washington over Alabama. I never said that. I am going to pick Washington over Alabama just so Billy can get pissed off at me. Now, I was going to say that at the end of the show when it was going on. I was going to be like, Washington over Alabama.
I just tell you what I always tell you all year. I say sooner or later you're gonna be right. A broken clock is right once, twice a day.
Hey Billy,
sooner or later you keep picking against us.
Hey Billy,
you
just made me mad.
You've been doing it for 10 years.
That right there, that cockiness right there is why Washington gonna bust y'all Bama fans in the mouth. Hey,
it won't happen. It sounds good.
Hey, we'll be watched by 30 points.
I don't believe 30.
By 30.
We all know that Saban pulls the gas. He pulls off the gas when he gets to a certain point. I think if he gets 21 up, he'll slow down.
Not when he's been off about 20 days, 25 days. He run up the score. Every first game of the year is by 40.
Well, let me get you mad. If he run the score up against Washington, it's just going to make Clemson mad, and they're going to whoop the hell out of y'all when they see you.
Well, that's what he did last year. He ran the score up on Michigan State. He ran the score up on Michigan State, and it went down to the last play against Clemson.
Well, Clemson is definitely missing the offensive coordinator. Like I said, they're missing the offensive coordinator.
I watched Clemson play a lot this year, so I'm gonna kind of go with Clemson because I've seen Watson pull some stuff out of his hat. So I don't know.
That's mad about that Heisman again.
I was just about to talk about that Heisman.
Yep.
Now I wanted Lamar Jackson to win only for the simple fact that I've watched him play this year. And he's done an exceptional job. But I don't think they're going to give it to him because, you know, he got another year. He could play. You know, I thought it was going to be some stipulations in there. But when he won it, you know, it was good. He won by a lot, too. And I thought he deserved it. I watched that kid play his butt off. Like, this year he played exceptionally well. Like, In tough situations, he's played hard, so I think he deserved it. But I kind of felt like they were gonna give it to Deshaun, but I was happy that Lamar won it because I felt like he deserved it. You know,
Lamar definitely had the better
year.
I hated on him all year because I was mad at Bonzo and Billy. I say it out loud because they gave him the trophy the first week of the year. I didn't understand that. Worm gave him the trophy too.
Worm gave him the trophy too.
Hey G.
I did at least
try to throw Jabril Peppers in it now.
Man.
Billy did. He's a dangerous quarterback.
Like, he real dangerous as far as on that field.
Joy, will he play quarterback in the league? What do you think?
He probably won't. They'll probably try to change him.
I think he will.
They'll give him a shot. He's too thin to play anything else. They'll give him a shot at quarterback. I think they'll give him a shot, man.
I think he will.
I think he'll play because he's accurate as I don't know what. Yes.
He is. He really is.
Yeah, and you know what? And if you think about this, a lot of the drop passes when he's throwing the ball is because he has so much heat on it. Those NFL receivers, they can catch that. They can catch those high balls. They can catch every last one of them. That's what they do. But, you know, some of these college kids, he's actually like, man, he's throwing laser strikes, man. He gets that thing on out of there.
And I can't wait to see him play.
We're talking about the Heisman. Let me tell you something that disturbed me. When they interviewed Deshaun Watson, when they interviewed Deshaun Watson, and they was talking about, you say you was here last year, this that, and you was upset. And instead of him, they did a background on all the players. Only thing they talked to him about was how upset he was, and he was like, "Yeah, I was. I felt I was the best player last year." He was just so arrogant, and it was so different from when he was there last year when he lost his home and had to go stay with his grandparents, and then he started building houses to help Gainesville or wherever he was.
Jacksonville,
you know,
somewhere.
He built houses now, giving back his time. It was just so different from that.
I want to bring something to your attention, Billy. I really do, because I do understand exactly what you're saying about he sounded more cocky this year. However, man, you got to watch the media when it comes to working kids. They know how to ask questions. They know what to ask. They know exactly when to poke a kid to get the response that they want. Now, am I saying that it's okay for Deshaun Watson to – you know, getting his feelings and, you know, say something like that? I'm not saying that's okay. However, man, media members, some of these members of the media, they can ask questions or almost direct the kid to say exactly what they want them to say. And I've never been a big fan of that. You know, I've never been a big fan of that, man. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion.
I don't know if y'all seen it, but they did a background on every kid that was up there. Mm-hmm. And then when they got to him, they just asked him some questions and just made him go off. And they didn't do no background. They didn't show where he was from this year. They didn't go back to the neighborhood where he was. They didn't show all the houses that he built. I'm talking about actually donating his time, building houses. They didn't show none of that. They just went straight to the, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know,
media.
You got to be careful with the media. That's why
SEC Mixtape exists. That's how this idea actually came together, because we feel like, you know, me, G, Willis, Billy Bad, we feel like the media, you know, sometimes targets, you know, athletes, so they target a certain group of athletes. Sometimes the media do things that I don't necessarily think is fair, and I just don't get with it. Case in point, when Javon Robinson was dismissed from Auburn, you know, one thing that we did on SEC Mixtape, at no point did we say, you know, he was guilty. At no point did we call him an idiot. We never done that. We didn't do that. Because we said, okay, wait until the story comes out. Things happen. You never know. And at the end of the day, a young lady lied on the guy.
Right.
A young lady just told a straight-up lie on the guy. So, you know, I saw a point where we can really throw an SEC Mixtape drop in. That's what this media outlet is about. It's for the people. It's for the people by the
SEC Mixtape.
That's right.
You know what?
That was our voiceover.
Well, you know what? I talked to a coach earlier today, and I told him this, that, you know, parents, even in high school, a lot of parents want their kids to be the front runner of the team. They want, you know, all the media attention to go towards their kids. But sometimes I sit back and I ask myself, I want to do that. Are they really prepared for that? Because when Sean's school takes, they lose or they win, it's always Sean Shivers pitcher, or it's always Sean Shivers that's going to be the face. Like, he takes it very well, but for some kids it might be hard for them, and they can't take that, because they're going to praise you when you win and when you're up, and when you're down you're going to catch the flack from that too. Because guess what, all the little media papers and all that stuff say Shivers and Chaminade. Shivers and Chaminade couldn't hold off Trinity. Shivers couldn't withstand Trinity. He play on a team. But can parents take that? And a lot of kids can't take that, so you have to prepare them for that type of scrutiny that's going to come, because it's going to come. If you the man on the team, it's going to come. So, you know, they got to prepare him a little bit better. I thought they had people in place that, what do they call them, media specialists or whatever, that assist with dealing with the media, because sometimes you're going to have to, you need those people in place so that way you can answer the questions the proper way. And it won't come out like the way it came out and, you know, the way people are viewing it. That's just my opinion.
Okay. I agree. I like that. That was a pretty good answer. You know, you never think that's a different way of looking at things. It really is. You never think about what everything is normally put on the star athlete's shoulders. You know, and who wants to, and a lot of times when a star athlete isn't on or things aren't working like they think they should work, everything goes back to the star athlete. He
it falls on
it done
him. That's what I'm saying. Like, Warren played his heart out. But it don't say, you know, some of them say that, but the header said Shivers couldn't withstand Trinity. That's what I'm saying. So it's just like, I mean, you can't argue with them. It is what it is. They say what, you know, they reporting it how they reporting it. But at the end of the day, that child got to be able – he's still a child. So he got to be able to know how to handle that. Some people come from a strong background. But I tell some of these parents, you want the fame and you want the clout, but can you handle it? It's a different situation.
That's very good point. Now, that's a very –
parents
got to
be trained
point.
In that as well.
They have to, I guess at some point they really have to look at that in the face, because it can be aggravating. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being very, very aggravating as a parent of a star player. Every time you open the newspaper, you know, it's actually talking about your, you know, this brings up a great point. Jeremy Johnson, man, like that guy, oh my goodness, man. He got a lot of heat, man. He got a lot of heat. At one point, you know, I can only imagine, it was just rough on the kid. Now, I honestly hate to see that. I hate to see that, you know, whenever a kid goes through it like that. That has to be pretty rough and pretty humbling. So, you know what?
Now who's Jeremy Johnson again? Who's Jeremy
Johnson? Just dumb fans, man. Just dumb fans. Dumb fans.
Yeah, dumb. You know, and that's true, man. And that's one thing that I won't do as a member of the media. As a member of the media, you know, I'm gonna talk about you. I'm gonna let you have it. Now, whenever it's due, you know, I'm gonna let you have it. I'm gonna burn you. You get out there and do something boneheaded. I'm gonna let you have it. However, you know, please understand that I don't want to see anything bad happen to anybody, you know, and I think sometimes the media takes it too far, just trying to get clicks or trying to get people to look in their direction, and they throw these kids under the bus, man, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I do not agree with it. You know, don't attack the kid's personal character or, you know, some of that stuff can get out of hand. That's just, and that's,
we're looking at around 10 minutes, guys. 10 minutes left in the show. 10 minutes.
Okay.
Well, just to say this really quick, I just tell him going forward, you could be in the car with four people and something happened. They might not mention the other four people that's in the car, but because you're in there, your name is going to be mentioned, whether you had something to do with what went on or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to teach. You have to start at home teaching when it comes to things like this. And this is really important. Your name, if your name carries weight, you have to know how to carry yourself accordingly. Simple.
Yep.
It's simple when it comes to that.
If you look at the Cam Robinson case, you know, when Cam Robinson and the other kid from Alabama, when they were caught in that car with the gun, can anyone tell me the name of the other two guys?
No clue.
Nobody.
It's gonna be him.
No
clue. Him,
yeah.
Robinson,
yeah.
It was Hootie Jones and Cam Robinson. But who were the other two guys? No one knows because they didn't play football. They didn't play. But they did peg. Everyone knew. The newspaper articles had Hootie Jones and Cam Robinson all over it.
No, Tom.
But the
I
other
mean,
two
Harrison,
guys,
my bad. Harrison, my bad.
Yeah,
wasn't Brandon Chicken?
It was Hootie.
Was Brandon Chicken in the car?
No, man.
No,
now,
no.
Brandon Chicken. Wait a minute. Brandon Chicken was the one with the dope, right? Who is this?
Yeah. That was that was somebody else. That was it 50, was that 56? It was one of those guys that had, was yeah, it was 56. Was it Tim? What's his name? Billy.
Oh, Tim.
Yeah, he got off. You know, he got off of that. That didn't. Hey, I got a quick question for Joy. Are you going to the Sugar Bowl? You are.
I am not. I'm not.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not going. It's track season for me. He got one more week, and then we're in track season because he's behind. So I gotta focus on track now. It's the story of my life.
I got you. Because I'm telling you, if you made it to that game and you heard that War Eagle, when they kick that ball off, it might do something to you. I'm telling you right now. It might do something crazy.
I know we'll be in the building
crazy.
Next year. We're going to make a whole lot of games next year. I know that for a fact. So I just know we probably won't make
that game. It's the same thing when you hear Roll Tide, when it just sends, like you just want to just throw a bomb in the stadium or something. It's just like it's just too much going on. It's like having a migraine headache at the same time where it's you having a severe back pains when you hear Roll Tide.
That
same feeling.
G, you like it, don't you? Hey, G.
Hey.
Hey, G. Boy, you just almost made me sign both my kids up as a recruit. Hey, come here, Big L, sign this paper. Dang, G. Jeez. What a recruit.
Hey, I try to paint a picture, man.
Hey, Billy, your
I want you to understand it.
Hey Billy, your turn. Tell me about the Tide.
You want to win championship?
I don't want to know. I'm signing with G Willis. I don't want to know.
Exactly.
Hey, does Brandon Chicken get a ring if y'all win the championship
y'all
this year? Does Brandon like Chicken get a ring?
Brandon Chicken already got rings. How about that?
Right.
Hey, Billy. Hey, Billy. Hey, I'll be hitting Billy with a stick. Billy hit me with a brick every time.
Right.
He's so calm with it. He's so calm.
He's
not a nice person. I'm telling you, he's not a nice person at all.
I'm very nice. Very nice.
I don't know.
You
he
tell yourself that all
cause
day.
Because it sounds like you mean, too.
No, I'm not.
You got him. You know him.
He'll let you have him. He'll let you have him. I'm telling you.
I'm very nice. I don't have a mean spirit in my body.
Boy.
Well, you're not drinking right now.
Hey,
you're
Joy.
Auto spirit.
Joy.
Yes.
Joy,
yes.
I can tell you this.
Uh-huh.
When Auburn played Oregon, I went for Auburn. Those two can't say that. They'll never go for Alabama, period.
Really? Y'all can't be like
what?
That. Y'all can't be
wait
like
minute.
That.
Now, wait a
up,
minute.
Hold up. First of all,
let me
explain something to Joy.
Especially coming
Joy,
in.
Once you become an Auburn fan, now, let me explain it to you.
Okay.
Hey, man, don't nobody want you'll understand. I will not say it on the air. The first time you meet with us, I will explain to you in detail why we don't go to Alabama games.
I have absolutely nothing against the University of Alabama. It's just the fact that it's almost impossible to dislike a herd of angry tree-killing fans but like the program that they represent. It's just hard. It's hard.
I feel
but
way
I do,
stronger
I respect,
than that. I can't.
Really,
I have deep emotions.
I respect what Bama's doing. I respect what Bama's doing. I respect Nick Saban to the utmost. What that dude has done, it is the most impressive thing that I've seen in my lifetime in college football. I'll say
I agree with that.
It is.
I agree with that completely. I agree with that completely.
But do I have to like it? Do I have to like it? Not at all.
It's not. And what you will learn first, Joy, is it's not about us disliking the football team or the university. It's the fans that we can't stand.
We have to live with them.
I heard they rough.
You can look it up right now. So what's your point?
The fan poisoned trees and teabagging people in Crystal. I stated that
I pull for Auburn and the kids that's on that team because I have plenty of kids from my area on that team.
And we told you we didn't care. We told you we didn't care. Good for you. We still hate Alabama at the end of the day.
Guest host. Bye, y'all.
All right, later.